Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive and sporting our Costas in gear for our beloved late great Mr. Costas, who passed this weekend. We're going to be celebrating his life in 2 weeks. We'll be at Costas on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, but we're going to be at Fadley's first on Wednesday with the Magic 8-Balls with the victorious Baltimore Orioles on opening day. I began my entire season at Fadley's on opening day with crab cake and some French fries and some proper cucumber slaw. I will be offering that to Luke Jones as well as Mark Viviano and Ron Cassie of Baltimore Magazine and some other guests. I have one other guest I'm trying to get to Fadley's on Wednesday. I know this guy will be with me on Wednesday as well. We might even wind up talking some football or some college basketball or portal or other things like that. The Orioles heading off into the abyss of Kansas City and Arizona in the week. But first things first, glorious opening day. The sun is shining behind me in the script here at Baltimore Positive out on YouTube and our video channel. I got an early start. I went to Fadley's. They moved the game back. It was a unbelievably glorious day to be at the ballpark. It's like my wife said to me in the morning, go down, show your face, say hello to everybody, enjoy the start of the season. I feel like I saw every single person I've ever known on Monday. I mean, it was like I didn't see you, but you spent 5 days in Toronto with me.
I was busy writing up the Colton Cowser injury, which is really the only kind of down moment of the day. And you said it, weather was beautiful, the rain held off, and in fact it started raining as I was driving out of the city on Monday evening. So a great day. Look, you and I have talked to, let's be honest here, let's call a spade. You and I have talked a lot about the issues pertaining to the Baltimore Orioles for a long time, but opening day is still one of those events in the city that still means something. Does it mean what it meant 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 20 years ago? You know, that's up to the individual, but it's still special, and you still see people that you haven't seen in a while. I felt that way even seeing, media members that I haven't seen since last October. So, but it was a great day. Like you said, I mean, you can't ask for better weather on March 31st. And as I said, from a baseball standpoint, the Cowser news starts the day off on a sour note, but the Orioles, 2 4-run innings, a really good bullpen work until Batista in the ninth inning, and we'll get into that. But you get a win, you're 3-2. You have a great day. The crowd was good. I thought the energy was good. It's definitely different, and you could definitely sense the new sound system. They've got the DJs, the MCs in the ballpark. It's different than it was 10 years ago, let alone talking about longer than that. But it was a fun day, and the Orioles certainly gave the home crowd something to be happy about by the time the final out was recorded, with a little bit of angst in that ninth inning after the Orioles had put up a bigger lead in the bottom of the eighth.
All right, let's talk about Cowser. Let's start with, I mean, I'm not going to be Debbie Downer here at 3-2. I mean, we can go through the cast of number five starters and four innings and Cade Bovich on opening day, whether it was big too big for him. He hung in there. I mean, he did, and like you want them all to hang in every night, but Corbin Burns isn't coming out of there every fifth day. Zach Eflin might be to some degree, to the degree he can be. I don't know when Grayson Rodriguez is going to come out. So we can go down the pitching road of how good can the pitching be? And that was last week's headline. Can they win a World Series with a cadre of number four and five starters? We'll find that out. That we're not going to judge that today. Can they be a playoff team with four and five starters? We have been in full agreement that they can and probably should be if they hit the ball, right? But part of hitting the ball is start taking the Cowsers and the Gunnar Hendersons out of the lineup, and just for a couple days here, I guess Gunnar Henderson will be fine. But you start taking bats out. I mean, I even go back 10 years ago. I don't need to go back to 1979 and Gary Renicky. But 10 years ago when Mark Kakis disappeared, from this operation then, and you start taking big at bats out. And even last year, I mean, the amount of injuries they had last year for younger players as well, who we've got them all penciled in, right? That's what my dad and I did this time of year, right? Westberg. 274, 23 bombs, 91 RBIs. Henderson, 294, 38 home runs, 116 RBIs. Adley Rutschman. Don't know what he's going to be. Let's go conservative on him. 268, 19 bombs, 62 RBIs. Let's just pretend he's Matt Wieters. So I start to put those numbers in, but those numbers don't mean anything when you start to get hurt.
Yeah, and when you're talking about someone like Colton Cowser, I mean, we all remember what he looked like 2 years ago when he was called up in the midst of the summer. Really struggled, right? Didn't look like he belonged. I think batted 115 in his first. It was more than a cup of coffee. I think it was right around 80 plate appearances, something like
It was
that.
like worse
But
than Jackson Holiday, but not as bad as Kobe Mayo, would you say?
it wasn't as bad as Jackson Holliday. When we're talking about Holiday at the very beginning,
Yeah,
right?
I'm
His
talking about
April
what
stint,
sends them back.
it wasn't that bad, but similar, of the same, cut from the same cloth
And
in
by the way,
terms
if
of.
Brooks Robinson were here to join us today, he'd say, "Well, I remember back in '56, I had a problem."
Yeah,
You know,
it's
like
tough.
yeah, Cal Ripken struggled. Everybody struggles, right?
I mean, whether you're talking about Jackson Holliday at 20 or Kobe Mayo, I think was 22, Cowser, I think was 23. But my point is, last year, his first full year in the big leagues, a much better product, second in rookie of the year voting. Someone who hit 24 home runs, he had 24 doubles,
He's their best player in April, right?
played really good defense. I mean, I think, don't get me wrong, it's not as though this is a devastating blow that completely sinks their offense, but when we're talking about the pitching being where it is right now, and you mentioned Cade Povich. I think there could be a good pitcher in there. I like a lot of what I see from Cade Povich in terms of pitchability. He gets some strikeouts. He misses some bats. He's not overwhelming with his velo, but he's got a good mix of pitches. Just has to be more efficient. I mean, you can't throw 90 plus pitches when you're in the fifth inning. But going back to Cowser, going back to some of these injuries that they've been dealing with, Gunnar Henderson should be back by the end of the week, I think. I certainly, if he's not back for Thursday's finale, I certainly expect him to rejoin the club on this upcoming road trip. I think he's that close at this point. So that'll be huge, obviously. But Cowser's just someone that he's one of those players that you point to that has already figured it out to some degree to have success in the majors. And now you question, all right, what's the next step for him? Wasn't off to a great start. I think he was 2 for 16, but it's four games. You're not overreacting to four games, good or bad. But he's another one of those players that you point to with all the questions about their pitching, the rotation specifically, but also the bullpen. We've talked about what? In terms of laying out what you still like about this team, it's their young position talent. Why? Because one, it's already been pretty good. And two, you have guys that you'd like to think there's more meat on the bone in terms of more upside and more potential and guys getting better. And
Well, guys that are 22, 23, 24, if they're not ascending, I don't, like there has to be an ascension for these guys as number one picks, as all of
sure.
that. And they're all tool guys. They've all proven enough to be here. They've all proven they can have some success here, including Jackson Holliday this week, right? This weekend, I should say, right? Like, doesn't look like he doesn't belong, sort of where Colton Cowser was. Look, man, Elias Maidel, these guys have been doing this a long time. Brandon Hyde, their whole system, their whole program looks at these guys and they're thinking the same thing we're thinking. Mike Elias is doing what me and my dad did. He did it back in November and said, "What do we think these guys, what is their upside, their value? How can we get their potential?" But, Brian Billick once said to me, "Those who can are no better than those who won't," right?
Or you have guys who, if they're not available and they're not on the field, they can't help you. And that's what's unfortunate about Cowser here, because you're talking about a fractured thumb. Brandon Hyde said probably 6 to 8 weeks at a minimum, and that sounds about right.
Man, that's All-Star game. Move on.
I mean, maybe not the All-Star game, but June, Memorial Day
Six
feels
to eight
like,
weeks, and he's got to swing a bat and then go hit major league pitching
well,
again, right?
when they say 6 to 8 weeks, I think that
The
is.
fractures 4 weeks, 2 weeks of soft rehab, 2 weeks
He
of, I
ramps
gotcha.
up, goes to Sarasota or wherever he's going to
And that's if
rehab, and
everything
then
goes right with broken
sure.
hands. I mean, we talked about Markakis on the hand and what that,
It's
like,
bad. Like
and Rutschman
baseball
might have
players.
played through it last year.
I mean, who knows? Although I will say, with each interview, He has made some indication, just because you brought up Rutschman, I'll spend 20 seconds on him and then I'll get back to Cowser. He has talked about some swing adjustments he made, having a bat path that travels through the strike zone a little more efficiently. Talked about getting into some bad habits, which, again, did that stem from an injury? Was that pertaining to an injury? I absolutely think that's very, very possible, if not likely, because again, it's how good the guy was through his first 2 calendar years in the major leagues, and then whatever we saw in the second half just was not even close to that. But with Kowser, it's a tough blow because I've talked about this a lot with the outfield. When you look at their collection of outfielders, Cedric Mullins, and get back to Cedric in a moment because he had a big day on Monday, but we know 2 of the last 3 years he's really struggled against left-handed pitching. So he's become more of the strong side of a platoon type situation. And I think as the Orioles would get into that, you'd look at Kowser probably being the center fielder because he played some center field last year and he has the ability to do that. So that impacts you there. You have Tyler O'Neill, who feasts on left-handed pitching, has been okay against right-handed pitching the last few years, but not great. So once again, might be a guy that he's going to play most of the time. I mean, the Orioles didn't give him a 3-year, $50 million contract to be strictly a platoon guy, but you could certainly lay out an argument for him to not start against every single right-handed starter that you encounter. We've talked about Heston Kerstad, who, this is going to be a big opportunity for him. I don't necessarily expect him to play every single day now, but he's going to play much more with Colton Cowser out of the lineup. So they need him to deliver. That's why him having that RBI single in the eighth was a big moment for him
Well,
because
there
he had a.
was an issue for, I mean, that kid's been up against everything. Spend a minute
Oh,
on
yeah.
him. I mean, from the physical issues he had about being alive and then playing the sport
Sure.
and then coming back and playing and then playing and then not playing and playing and being blocked kind of sort
Yeah.
of to some degree and not getting at bats, that this is how you get him out on the highway and have him drive, right? I mean, literally when injuries happen, it leads to that opportunity for someone like him.
Well, and this is where lots of people have talked about Mike Elias and hoarding prospects and what are you doing with these guys that are stuck at AAA? And the last couple of years, you could argue at least at times that Heston Kerstad's been stuck at AAA. Now he's also had some injuries, and it hasn't been as clear cut as him just having smooth sailing all the way to AAA and then he's blocked. But there's been some of that going on. But this is the exact scenario why you don't just trade away all your prospects because if you lose Colton Cowser, but you also traded Heston Kerstad. Now, granted, hypothetically, if you traded Heston Kerstad as part of a deal for another starting pitcher, then you might not be in worse shape, when you look at kind of the net gain, but you didn't do that. So you have him. He's going to play more now. He needs to play well. He needs to perform. They've brought up Dylan Carlson, who, is kind of an interesting reclamation project. He's going to be a reserve outfielder at this point in time off the bench, but go look at how he played a few years ago. I mean, this Go look at his 2021 season and be reminded that he's only in his mid-20s. So he's kind of an interesting player in that regard. They have Ramon Laureano, who was going to play a lot against left-handed starters anyway. But what hurts about losing Cowser is I just laid out their entire outfield. You kind of look at most of those guys as platoon split kind of guys. Like I said, not all of them to an extreme degree. But Cowser was probably the guy out of all that, out of that group that I identified as he's probably going to play every day or mostly play every day. Maybe he gets he sits against a Garrett Crochet who the Orioles are going to see Wednesday. But I expected Cowser to be out there potentially, I don't know, 145 starts, 150 starts if he stays healthy.
Now it's going to be double digits.
Yeah, it's a moot point now. So, with him missing. So something like this, it does hurt, but it is opportunity. And hey, Heston Kerstad, it's go time. You're not a young man. Go look at his age. He's not 22. He's at his mid already, well into his mid-20s. So they need him to perform, and you hope that that's a sign that what he was able to do late in the game on Monday after a couple rough at bats, a couple strikeouts in some spots with guys on base, for him to come through there. I thought that was a big moment for his confidence. You hope so. So, but I'll also say, and I'll go back to Cedric Mullins now. You need your vets to step up when you lose one of the guys that you're kind of projecting to be one of your, I don't know. I mean, Kowser's, I think at his best is one of their four best players. I think he's that kind of guy, one of their top three, four, five position players, which, says a lot about their entire group, but it also says a lot about him. So it's disappointing. There's no doubt. And I think where it really stands out, yes, the offense, but he's so good defensively, and that's disappointing. I mean, they have Mullins. O'Neal's played a good outfield to this point. O'Neal's won a couple gold gloves in his career, before the injury
Well, I
started him
think
out.
talking about him is the next natural thing. By the way, Luke Jones is here, Baltimore Luke. He's press credentialed. I'm not. We'll be together at Fadley's on Wednesday of this week. Also next week, we're going to be at Costas next Friday, and we'll be talking more and more all month long about baseball. But the O'Neal thing, the injury, in my mind, and I've been watching baseball a long, long time, guys built like him, guys who swing like him, guys who've done what he's done, that on reputation alone, you sign that guy and say, that's the guy that's going to spend 2 weeks, 2 to 4 weeks, somehow, some way with a strain, something for something, something. That's been his history. I don't know if this is the year that he goes 142 games, but it puts a lot more strain now on that, the contract, all of that for the at bats and for him having to be Santander and remain Santander. And God, he's had a great first week, right? Let's say that.
He has. I mean, he's been very good. Had four hits on Monday. I had the big opening day. Had another home run on opening day for someone who's been historic in that regard. But yeah, that's another element to this. When I mentioned Kowser and how I kind of viewed him as the guy that profiled best as an everyday player in that outfield because of some of the platoon splits and things of that nature. With O'Neal, I mentioned, okay, he's not incredible against right-handed pitching in the way that he has been against left-handed pitching, but he's still good. But he's another guy that you point to and say, yeah, he's the kind of guy that, given his history, he's only played more than 113 games once in his career. And by the way, when he did in 2021 for the Cardinals, he was eighth in MVP voting. I mean, he was great. 34 homers, 80 RBIs, had a 912
Well,
OPS.
to your point, to absolutely your point on Colton Cowser, is that the picture of the season, when you look back in the history of it, cannot be complete when you only play 87 games. The
Sure.
numbers don't look the same, they don't add up the same. Being out there, back to the Billick, availability is key.
It is.
That when he has that kind of year, you can project him out. And same thing with Santander, who
Sure.
had all sorts of beefy problems as a kid and being young and all that stuff that I mentioned that he talked about in Toronto last week as their shining star out on the Sky Dome scoreboard last week as I was sitting there on opening day watching BP. The same can be said for O'Neal, as you could say, there's that year that he had where he was healthy, and that's what we want to see the next 3 years, and our program is going to allow him to play 130 to 140 games, right? I mean, not 155. We're not Cal Ripken anymore, right? But just tune him out once a week. Once a week, he
Yeah.
doesn't make a start, gives him 130, 135 starts if he's not hurt. Day game, night game, double headers, all of that kind of nonsense that goes on. But if Tyler O'Neill plays 140 games this year, this is where they get all wild about this and signing him. Man, we keep him on the field for 135. Do the math. 42 home runs, right? I mean, like that. It looks like that's what it would be if you can keep him on the field. Same thing with Kowser, but we don't know yet.
Yeah.
Because we have that ugly year last 2 years ago, really nice year last year, and now that's going to be taken away from him a little bit. And I think when you start to stack these things up, what it does to the team, but what it does to the individual player for getting that contract next time out, or saying that guy's durable, or we can count, or consistent, or not, to your word, like the Fred Flintstone square, he's a platoon player. Once you're coined that at 25, or once they say, you're a DH, Heston. You're 25 and you're a DH. There's not a whole lot way to go from there. You better hit the ball.
Yeah, right. But like I said, when you lose Kowser, now you're in a position where can you afford to view O'Neal quite the same way, where it's easy to say when you have a healthy Couser and you have a healthy Cedric Mullins and you have a
Rest him,
healthy
right?
Heston Kerstad, you could say, okay, I can give Tyler O'Neill a day off every single week, right? I can do that every single week, or I can have him DH twice a week, even though I like his defense. Well, now you don't have Couser's defense or his bat in the lineup. If you're Brandon Hyde, you're saying, okay, I still need to be mindful of Tyler O'Neill, but now what are my alternatives if I do want to give him a rest day? Ramon Laureano, Dylan Carlson, right? Heston Kerstad, who you hope will hit the defense. We'll see. You know, I think he's made some strides defensively, but he's certainly not Colton Cowser or Cedric Mullins in the outfield, or Austin Hayes at his best, let's say.
There you go.
So,
You're starting to mention names now. Hayes, Stowers, all of the de depth that they had that were these pieces. It
yeah.
starts to re same with the pitching, right? This
Sure.
time last year was Means and Bradish and on and on and on. Now it's like, who? What? Kyle Gibson? When?
I
You
mean,
know?
they've got
So.
to find, yeah, they've got to find a way to stay healthy. I mean, we're now at a point where, and we haven't even mentioned Albert
Dude, it's April
Suarez.
Fool's Day, you know, like
Yeah.
be careful. But I mean, they got a lot of injuries for April Fool's Day.
Right. I mean, normally we say haven't even gotten to tax day, or we haven't even gotten to Memorial
Yeah, back
Day.
on Valentine's Day, we'd have been crying if we would have been told that on April Fool's Day it was going to look like this.
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah. But hey, they've won three of their first five. If they can do that, you stretch that out, the 600 winning percentage, it'll be a fun summer, and you'll be playing in October, in some capacity. But yeah, it's like I said, it was such a fun day. But you know, the Couser injury is tough. I mean, it really is. And again, when you talk about a hand, thumb, wrist, fingers, any of that for a
Handmade
hitter,
bone.
I mean, you need your hands and wrists to be 100%, right? There's, you know, you can hit with, you know, a sore ankle of, you know, kind of a knee
Dude,
that's
I
a
had a
little
blister
bulky.
on my heel in Toronto. I could walk for a day and a half because it hurt every time I walked. And hitting, if it's a digit,
It's tough.
it's really, really difficult to do.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's the thing. I mean, when he comes back, is he going to be right? And that's and you know that's far down the road at this point because it's going to be a couple months. I mean, when the team says it's going to be a couple months, you know at a minimum it's going to be a couple months, right? It might be the All-Star break, like you said, or maybe he's back by Memorial Day.
Well, I
You know,
said
it's
All-Star break. If he comes back on June 28th, you're fully within your means to get
that
after
one's.
me, but he ain't coming back on May 28th.
I'd be surprised, right? I mean, just knowing the history of
And it
that.
wasn't a very bad break. I mean, you know what I mean?
So,
And especially when they come out and say it's going to be 2 months. So, I
yeah.
mean, I'll take them at word on that, and we'll see him sometime in late June, as
You
I
know,
see it.
if you see him on Flag Day, so what, that's mid-June, that would be a
Who
win.
the hell knows who Flag Day but you? You know Flag
I don't know the
Day.
exact date. I said it's mid-June, right? I mean,
All right. I
it's
call
usually
that
like
Senior Week.
June 12th or something like that. I don't know.
Luke
But
Jones is here. He's Baltimore. Finish up on the hitting. We'll do pitching in another segment. We'll stay on the field here because we're trying to get Rutschman right. Mullins looks great. I mean,
hey,
there's great news here on
there
what's
is.
happened on the field. And really, I mean, and some. What's the, you know, something magic happens every night. There's a different star. That's the magic of Oriole baseball. Every night there's been a different star, and certainly the guy they gave the money to in the offseason, the young Canadian guy, that's been a good story because I don't know the fans know a lot about Tyler O'Neill or talk about him. I think it was more about, oh, we lost Tony Taters. This guy's been a nice little, you know, version of that for the first week.
He's had a great start to the season, no question. I mean, four hits on Monday, against his former team. You know, you made mention a couple minutes ago about if there were someone in the Orioles outfield that you'd envision an IL stint on, you know, missing a couple weeks here or there. I mean, he had three IL stints for Boston last year. He played 113 games, yet he still hit 31 home runs. I mean, that speaks to what kind of ability this guy has, and I think that's why. You know, the Cardinals for so many years were just so frustrated because this guy showed so much potential. I mean, he had an MVP caliber kind of year in 2021, a Gold Glove winner and 34 home runs. He stole 15 bases that year. I mean, this guy's got, you look at him, I mean, he's very muscular and work fit
Does he
and
have
all
one of those
that.
special bats from the Yankees? Did he pick one of those up in Tampa
I
last
don't
week when he
know
was
if
down
he
there?
uses the torpedo bat, but boy, you talk about something that the discourse is
Oh man,
already
did I
out of
just oh
control.
did I just bring that up too late into the segment? Do we need
I
to
know,
do a whole
right?
torpedo
Major
bat
League
segment?
Baseball, it's now a prerequisite. You have to bring it up in the first 3 minutes of any
Oh, you know what?
conversation.
I'll, how about if we bring it up over crab cakes at Fadley's on Wednesday?
You
You
know
want
what?
to do
I
torpedo
have to
bats on
study up
Wednesday?
on it a
By
little
then, the
bit.
Yankees will have seven more home runs, right?
You know, although the more and more I hear, I think Milwaukee threw a lot of bad pitches in that series as well. I
Don't
even
pick on Nestor Cortez on April Fool's Day. Come on now.
because I was listening, I think it was MLB Network Radio, and Dave Sims, who is now the play-by-play
By
radio
the
guy for
way,
the
I walk
Yankees.
by Luna Del Sei. I want to give some love to Tony Asadi over at Luna Del Sei, right on Pratt Street. Great place to stop before games. I took Dave into his place, and I had Ivan Bates, who's now the city attorney, and as a guest a couple of years ago. And I went by and gave Tony a hug, and he also knew Mr. Costa, so we had a moment with that. And that's been tough the last couple of days. But I saw him. He's like, "You brought the new Yankees announcer in on my into my place." And I'm like, Yeah, Dave's a friend. So go ahead, Dave, but I love Dave. I've loved Dave for
Oh
30
yeah,
years, man.
but he was asked. Like I said, it was MLB Network. It was on Sirius. I was listening to one of my state, station. I enjoy listening to when I want to get caught up around the league baseball. I'm so focused on the Orioles. But he was asked about the torpedo bats. He said, "Look, this isn't really a brand new thing." He said, "Milwaukee threw a lot of fat pitches to Yankee hitters over the weekend. So just keep that in mind before we all go nuts about the
It's been a
torpedo
rough week
bats."
for Nestors,
It.
globally, I think.
I think Nestor Cortez had a worse week, though. I mean, man, three home runs and three pitches to start your outing. There's no coming back from that. But no, to bring it back to the Orioles offense, we talked about it over the weekend. I mean, they hit home runs. They hit a lot of home runs on opening day. But Monday, they didn't hit a home run. They had 2 4-run innings. Cedric Mullins, I think his 2-run double in the bottom of the first, when you look at how that game played out, I mean, they were in a position. They were up 2-0. They had runners at second and third, nobody out. And then suddenly it's looking like, is this going to end up being an inning that you thought you had a chance to open up a lead? And
Oh, I said that out loud watching it
then
as it
he
was going
strokes one
on.
to the right center gap and drives in two, and suddenly it's a 4-0 lead, and you say, all right, that's the kind of big inning you like to have, when you have that opportunity.
Well, you
And then,
want that for the kid pitching too.
yeah, no question, no question. And Cade Povich even talked about that. And then in the eighth inning, after they had gotten such good bullpen work, you think about what their bullpen was able to do. And as I said, I'm Povich, I see potential for him to try to figure this out and become more efficient and be a legit member of this starting rotation. But boy, they could really stand to have him figure it out sooner than later. But Bauman, Dominguez, Aiken, Yennier Cano, I mean, they tossed, what was it, 3 2/3 scoreless innings between them. So it was nice to hang another four spot on the board in the bottom of the eighth
And the
because,
Orioles weren't scoring runs then.
yeah, and because we saw how Batista struggled in the ninth inning. You just think, had that been a 4-3 game, ooh, that would have been a much different conversation we're having the morning after. But good win. Offense has performed for the most part. They had a couple games in Toronto where, yeah, they didn't do a whole lot. That's baseball also. They need this team-wide effort. They need that to continue. Gunnar Henderson should be back here in the coming days, but we know Colton Cowles are going to be out the next couple months, and that's a big loss, even with all the other talent that they do have, position-wise.
Torpedo bats and colossal crab cakes. We'll be at Fadley's on Wednesday. On behalf of the Maryland Lottery, I'll have the Magic 8-Ball scratch-offs to give away on Wednesday. We have a whole cadre of shows coming up later on in the month with lots and lots of guests. Mark Viviano's coming this week. My buddy Jamie Costello is going to be at Coco's later on in the month. I ran into all sorts of people on opening day. Thanks for all the kindness and not too many people yelled nasty stuff at me. Most people were yelling, good things and opening day things and 75 degree days. And we hope to have more of those on Wednesday. We will be down at Fadley's supporting Oriole baseball and talking Oriole baseball. The NFL owners meetings happened this week. Obviously, the Terps thing was crazy. I got a selfie with Derek Queen, DQ.
I saw that.
Yeah, I was going to put up the King of Baltimore Sports and but I didn't do that. I just put, "We're from Baltimore, we're from Baltimore." What?
I have to, since you said that, I wasn't in the picture, but David Rubenstein was talking to Jim Palmer behind the cage during batting practice. I put up a photo saying, Jim Palmer catching up with one of his fans. So it reminded you mentioning the caption there for Queen. I'm like, I had to share it. So anyway,
Well, good
I thought it was
captions.
funny.
Dude, at heart, I grew up in a newspaper office at 15, and although we were not a tabloid newspaper on Calvert Street, certainly not at the News American. At the News American, when I was a kid, everyone in that room thought in terms of tabloid headlines and us being a tab, because there was always a rumor that that's what they were going to do with us and make us a tabloid newspaper like they did in Philly. And never happened. But then one of my dearest friends in life, one of my sponsors in life, a guy named Steve Miller, the killer, big New York Rangers fan. I worked with him at the Baltimore Sun, and he left the Baltimore Sun to go to the Miami Herald. And I got an interview down there and some great shrimp cocktail and a free trip down to Biscayne to interview at the Miami Herald in 1989. The great Armando Salguero got my job instead. So I always said to him, dude, they did pretty well. They hired you. They did better than they could have done hiring me. Then after that, they hired Le Batard. So they did okay. But Steve went on to work in New York and became the tabloid headline writer. And he was one of the greatest in the world at the back page headline. So that's a great back page headline caption, you know? So let's work on those this year because we are. I am the bastard of all sports journalists in Baltimore, locked out of both. And it's not even an April Fool's joke. We're going to talk some pitching when we come back. We're going to talk torpedo bats at Fadley's. Mark Viviano is going to legitimize this program on Wednesday by stopping by Fadley's. Stick with us. It's baseball season. We've been doing this a long time. It's kind of fun when they're good. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We're BaltimorePositive.com.